Last week we left off at verse 18. Let's begin rolling back just a bit in verse 17 of chapter 2. God's word given to the people at Audubon this morning to edify us. And he being Jesus the Christ, came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The loneliness epidemic. We'll focus in verses 19 through 22 this morning. I want to give you three things. You know, I'm prone to give you three things. I think three things rightly explode from this text, meant to encourage the body of Christ in the midst of what people that study these things, called sociologists, call the loneliness epidemic. Three things that give hope to God's people that Paul lays out in front of us. Number one, and we'll talk about these in sequence, you are precious. You are precious to a God who gave his only begotten Son for you. Number two, as the church, we proclaim, defend, contend that truth is on our side. Truth is on our side. Number three, and you'll see these as we move through the text, I give to you that God himself is most glorified. God is most glorified when his people are most satisfied in him. You are precious. Truth is on your side. God is most glorified when we, Audubon Baptist Church, are most satisfied in him. We're going to take them in order. I want to go after this thing called the loneliness epidemic. I ask as way of starters, have I fallen for the lie that our home should be in this world? Have we fallen for the lie that says that we should be at peace, accepted, cheered, and not lonely in this world? Many that I speak with, including those within the church, are in seasons of deep loneliness, depression. Some would even use the words utter despair. Have we fallen for the lie that we are to be at home, at peace, comforted, not lonely in the world itself? If we aim at nothing, we will hit it every time. Part of that lie, point number one, gets at the point that the world will continually tell you and myself too that we are not precious. God's word this morning, let's look at it in verse number 19. So then you, Audubon Baptist Church, are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Fellow citizens. If you mark your Bible, that would be one to mark. What does this mean? It means that we are equal one to another in the body of Christ. There are no that are above, none that are above, and none that are below. Paul, in the first letter to Corinthians in chapter 12, says, even the least of these is indispensable. None are less. Peter, 2 Peter 1, we have obtained, not we will, we have obtained a faith of equal standing one with another. If you're here this morning and you are in deep loneliness, depression, despair, please hear me. You are of equal standing with the Apostle Peter. You are equal standing with everyone here, whether they feel the same thing or not. We saw this phrase a couple of weeks ago, dividing wall of hostility. Let me read off some things that are dividing walls of hostility in the world of which we are sojourners. Number one, skin color, whether you be white, black, brown, yellow, albino, leprosy, you're of equal standing. Whether you're rich or poor, whether your time as a Christian be one day or 100 years, you're of equal standing. You're precious to God. Whether you're a child or an adult, whether you're a Gentile or a Jew, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, slave, master, wise, foolish, PhD, GED, married, single, divorced, equal before God. Whether you're proud, whether you're broken, whether you're secular music driven or gospel music driven, sinner, equal before God. I've got many more. Maybe you want to hear them. Maybe you don't. Whether you're homeschooled, public schooled, private schooled, whether you're tattooed, unmarked, been away, never been away, acoustic guitar, organ, whether you work for trainer, you're unemployed, whether you work in the community or you work in the home, you're equal before God. Whether you believe in kosher food, whether you believe in organic food, whether you believe in McDonald's food, McDonald's fries, you're equal before God. Whether you're a toilet paper over, toilet paper under, fried chicken, chickpeas, city, country, Baptist, Presbyterian, let's hit closer to home, whether you believe that the ordinances should be provided with wine or grape juice, equal before God. Whether you're house church, Ottoman church, addicted, not addicted, Cary Chapel proponent, this sanctuary proponent, long service, short service, ties, not ties. You want to split a church, you wear a tie when they're not used to seeing a tie. I had at least three brothers that were disturbed deeply this morning. Whether you prefer Dan, Jeff, UK, U of L, you're equal before God. And you're precious because God gave all of these people His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19 again. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Somebody here this morning needs to hear that they're precious to God. Someone say amen to that. Amen. You're precious to God. But yet there's a battlefield for your mind. The culture, some of your families, sometimes yourself, the enemy whispers you are anything but. Paul wants us to know this morning, as he did the church at Ephesus, that you are precious to God. That is prescription number one for overcoming depression, loneliness, and despair. To know that the Creator of this world knows you by name and sent His only Son for you. This word saint shows up. Do you understand that Paul is saying that you are now members and fellow citizens of equal standing with the saints? In your mind, right now, many are saying, that is not true. We remember the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, an awesome one. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets, saints. Paul reminds us, as Peter does, that we are fellow citizens with these giants of our faith. Fellow citizens. How can that be? How can that be that I, an aerospace engineer, can be fellow citizens with these giants of our faith? Well, we roll back one verse to verse number 18. Verse 18, for through Him we have access. The reality Paul wants us to remember, you and me too, is that we're on equal standing, not because we have been as good, done as much, failed less than these giants of our faith, but because we are through Him together. The writer to Hebrews in chapter 10 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have the confidence to enter the holy places, you know what comes next. By the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus assures that you are precious to God and that you are on equal standing, one as to another. But don't worry, the world will not agree with this. The world will continue to lob things at you that would cause you to question whether or not you are precious. Perhaps you had a father that failed you growing up. You have a father that never fails, that loves you and calls you precious. Brothers and sisters, we must get over the world. The world has no say over the people of God. And it's because God's word speaks over the world. Which brings up a little devious question. In whom or in what do we trust? Do we trust the voices in the world that come at us telling us that we are less than we are told we are in Scripture? Which brings up one of my concerns. Young adults all across our country sit in sanctuaries this morning, proclaiming themselves, labeled by sociologists, to be part of the loneliest generation to ever walk the earth. Reportedly, some one-third of our young people that we are raising now will use the words lonely. When we go back into verse 19, we see Paul, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. And we have to ask ourselves, which is it? What is Paul talking about? Which perspective, while we're on earth or when we're in eternity, are we no longer strangers and aliens? See, if we look for continual validation, young people, comparisonism, we will always come up short from the world's standpoint. But God's word says that you are precious. God's word says that you are of fellow citizenry, that you are of equal standing. God's word says that you are part of this body of Christ because not we have pew room, but this body of Christ needs you and loves you, and you're of equal standing. So we ask ourselves, young people, have we been lied to? And have we believed that lie? But the research, unfortunately, doesn't just stop with young people. I could deal with young people because I was one of them one time, and I remember myself these feelings. But the research is harshest on older Americans. That might come as a surprise to you. The research is harshest to older Americans. Some 43% of older Americans will say they are always lonely, not occasionally lonely. Obviously, those that have lost lifelong spouses have a special challenge in this case. Those that attest to this, they find, are 45% higher risk for mortality. The equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Two-thirds of them say that either the TV or their pet is their only friend. That's broke. Government campaigns abound to solve this. May I tell our beloved senior citizens that are gathered here, your work, if you are here, is incomplete and your race continues. You are precious and important to this body of Christ. You have a place. Paul says that you are a fellow citizen, not just with the saints, but with those that are the household of God. My question to all of us on point number one is, to whom or what are we looking to solve this loneliness issue that is prone to attack in our flesh? See, we have to be careful with this. We're no longer strangers and aliens. It's not exactly what Paul means if we take it on face value, and we'll get to that in a moment. We are strangers and aliens in this place called the world. You are guaranteed to be a stranger and alien in this place called the world when we define it as beyond the church. It's in here and in churches that are faithful to God's word that we are brought near and fellow citizens. Listen, I fly a lot. Some of you know that. I didn't always fly a lot. Well, I used to. Yeah, I flew a lot all the time. I fly a lot. And because I'm a cheap man, or flip side of that, stewardship man, when I fly on American, they always print this thing, and Sam knows this because he goes sometimes with me on my boarding pass, and it says zone number 9. You've maybe not been there. Let me tell you how this goes. We're now ready to board the flight to Louisville. We'll be boarding zone number 1. These are the really important people. Somewhere about 2 or 3, they invite the military on board. 4, 5, 6, and I'm looking around. Oh, there's Sam. Yeah, Sam. Sam and I, zone number 9. And then if that's not bad enough, you finally get to go on the plane and they've already run out of space to bring your luggage. So they're like, we have to have your luggage, sir. We have to put it underneath, which costs you another 30 minutes when you land. And then they make you walk past the first class people that are, you know, they're drinking already. And then you go past the business class people. And then you go past, now they have something called Economy Plus. And I'm just telling Sam, just keep on going. Keep on going. There's a row back there that doesn't recline. That's the zone 9 row. Right up against the restroom and back. All the way to the back. Now, because I am a wicked sinner, I judge every row as I walk past. Sometimes visible eye rolls. Not good with money. Foolish. Look at him. Let me tell you, what does Paul say in verse number 19? So then, you are all fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. If we are to get past our depression and our loneliness, we must believe God's word is true about us in this regard, that we are precious. I don't always fly southeast, southwest, but I love southwest. They're like, you get on a plane, all the seats look the same. That's how it is in God's church. all the seats look the same. We might have different roles. We might have different responsibilities. Even the least of these is indispensable in this place. And God has shed His Son's blood for you. When you believe that, when you hold on tight to that, when you contend for that, it changes the way that you think about yourself. Paul continues, verse number 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. There's only one way that we're on equal standing with the saints that have been gloriously commended for their faithfulness. And that is because we stand together based upon the foundation that has been built, provided for, and given to us in the Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, from the apostles and prophets. See, if we see our church as somewhere defined by anything less than we stand together based upon this Word and what the prophets and the apostles have said, then we sadly miss. Jesus rightly teaches about building our foundation on anything other than the rock. You know it. You learned it in Sunday school as a child. Matthew chapter 7. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Can I be honest with someone that's here this morning? Your house is not built upon the rock. And you're getting rain beating against your house. And your house is shaking. You and the church will never be vibrant, healthy, unless you and we together hold tightly onto this book. And ultimately, what is this book about? It's about exactly what Chris prayed a few minutes ago. Whether it be the Old Testament, the prophets, or the New Testament, this book is all about the cornerstone of that foundation, Jesus the Christ. When we talk about cornerstones, we need to understand it's a little different day and age that the prophets and the apostles and Jesus ministered in an earthly sense. Amy Jo and I saw this. There's a lot of rock construction in that part of the world, including the old temple. Christ, you can do a word search on this for cornerstone, is talked about as the coming cornerstone in the Old Testament. Passages like Psalm 118 say that the rejected stone has become the cornerstone. In Isaiah and Zechariah, you'll see the same language. It continues on into the New Testament. That Christ is the founding stone in a structure we call the foundation that is built from. It's so important because the cornerstone is that thing that keeps the construction straight and true. The Word of God through the apostles and prophets is our guide lamp towards that cornerstone. So we need to understand, when Paul says we're no longer strangers and aliens, what he's talking about is that we have found our people that agree that Christ is the cornerstone. You are rightly a stranger and alien if you have not yet discovered that. But we recall that Paul is teaching a faithful people at the church at Ephesus. So the prophets sum it all up. The apostles sum it all up. faithful preaching sums it all up in this one word, Jesus. This book is sure, sufficient, tested. We saw archaeology sites in Israel. Verified, complete, and trustworthy. So the question becomes, do we believe this word and what it says about the cornerstone? If we are to progress in our loneliness, we must be yoked with people that believe the same thing. It's one of the reasons why church membership is so important. When we come into the church and we testify we want to be a part of this church, we must increasingly say we want to be a part of this church because of this. And we agree and abide by this. We believe this. Hey, listen, Jesus was very clear in Matthew. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except... No one comes to the Father except through me. Sorry. A couple of chapters earlier, in chapter 5, though, we get at the heart of what Paul's talking about. Don't think that Jesus came to abolish what the prophets talked about. He's not come to abolish that or the law, but to fulfill it. This book talks about Christ. It is the thing that yokes us together as faithful members. Let me give you a warning, though. There are many, many cultural impostors to the cornerstone. Those impostors sound like acceptance, errancy of the scriptures, priest, image, inclusion, relativism, understanding works. It can shockingly even sound like our church, not Audubon, but the church for church's sake apart from Christ. These scripture testifies to, these our experiences testify to, lead to failed cornerstones. Foundations built upon anything other than Jesus Christ is folly. Your wall will fall down, your building will fall down, the rain and wind blew against it, and it fell. If you're struggling this morning, I want you to know there is rest and safe harbor within this book based upon the testimony of prophets, apostles, and Jesus himself. We can rightly be caught between two worlds as strangers and aliens, not yet in one, pushed away from another. Paul says we are no longer strangers and aliens because through him we have been brought near. Point number three, God is most glorified when his people are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified when his people are most satisfied in him. Verse number 21. In him, the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple. A holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together in a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Not only are we fellow citizens of equal standing, precious to God. Not only are we built as a sure foundation upon the work, the finished work of Jesus the Christ, but when we come together, these words are so shocking as to be almost unbelievable in our flesh. We grow into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you, precious brother, in him, you, beloved sister, are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. A couple of quick thoughts as we wrap up. All of us have a part in that. 1 Corinthians 12. We all are either an arm or leg or eye or toe or finger. And all those parts make up one body of Christ. Christ himself died for you. You are therefore precious and important. Number two, we're continually under construction. If you believe that Audubon Baptist Church will ever arrive and will be there, then you are sadly mistaken based upon what the Scriptures teach. In Revelation, we see this. Christ Himself walks around the churches continually measuring, continually encouraging, continually saying words that sound like, I know your works, go improve in this area. I know your works, well done, focus in this area. We will forever be under construction because we have not yet arrived into glory. Which brings up another thought. Are we living or dying? Are we living or dying? Christ is alive. His people are alive. We must hold fast to this thought that we are alive. Where Jesus is rightly worshipped by the people, the Father promises to be near. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied. The last part of chapter, or verse number 22, so precious, so mind-blowing, so contrarian to the world and what we witnessed at the Western Wall. In Him you also are being built together. In Him, Audubon, you also are being built together. We're not complete. We're being built. We've not arrived. We are being built into a dwelling place for God. Do you understand that God is no longer in the Holy of Holies? God is where His people gather in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. He is here this morning. I talk to some well-intended brothers and sisters sometimes in the Lord. I have no doubt that they're Christians, but they are away from the church. And they stumble around as into the dark going, I can't find God. Verse number 22. In Him, you also, Audubon, are being built together into a dwelling place for God. Could it be that God is hard to find when we are not gathered together in the name of Jesus the Christ, His Son? And that is not to say that we can't have relationship when we go from this. God is omnipresent everywhere. But there's a special thing that happens called the Holy Temple of God when we gather together. So here's what Paul means. I know no better way to summarize it than this. In Hebrews 11, I'm just going to read it to you, verses 13 to 15. All of these saints that we talked about, that we proclaim based upon the truth of God's word, that we are equal and fellow citizens with, did not receive the things promised. Why? Because they were strangers and aliens yet. Having seen from afar, having been acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Can you rightly say that from a world standpoint, you acknowledge that you are to be a stranger and exile on the earth? This is what the saints of old did. For people who thus speak make it clear they are seeking a homeland. Your home, beloved, is not on this earth. We are in transition to glory. If those saints had been thinking of that land in which they had gone out from or left from, they'd have just come back. No, the saints that we are equal with desired a better country. That is a heavenly one. Do you understand? They were strangers and aliens when they walked the earth because they were apart from the culture even in that day. But yet they held on to that heavenly country that God promised for them. In the meantime, what does Paul mean for us? This place we call the church, Audubon Church, is the dwelling place of God until that day that heaven is opened up for His people. And based upon that, we go back to verse 19. Paul says, therefore, you are no longer strangers and aliens. So we have this dichotomy. We're strangers and aliens as soon as we walk out of this place. And for some of us, that makes us uncomfortable. For some of us, that makes us lonely. the other part of it, God offers up this person called Jesus the Christ, who proclaims that this church is the bride of Christ, who proclaims that when we are together here, based upon the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, we are no longer strangers and aliens. We are to gather as the people that hold fast to these things. We, as a people, long to be home. We long to be home.